Men are great musicians. Men are great craftsmen. Men can even be great cooks. And you know what? I enjoy all that in a church. But I'll tell you what, I really enjoy the men in this church and the way they give devotions. Appreciated that devotion this morning, brother. Back in Flat Rock, we would do that. We would have some of the men stand up and give devotions. And I remember when my pastor first let me start doing them. Spoilers, they weren't all that good. And you know what? There's some men that would get up and... mine weren't so good because I was young and inexperienced. There were some men that got up that probably should have sat down a few years prior. We had one guy, he'd get up there, if he remembered it was his turn to do devotion, he'd get up and he'd read all 10 minutes through some scripture. Didn't always have to be on the same topic, just kept reading through. He'd get 3 or 4 chapters through. But I tell you what, as much as I enjoy devotions, I really enjoy what the men do here. So thank you very much for that, gentlemen. And Brother Dennis, thank you for that devotion this morning. If you will, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. And verse 6. Now we're talking about the giants that David had to face beyond just, well, the one we know the most. And something that kind of became a problem and kept being a problem was the giant that Saul was. You know, and at one particular point in all of our lives, we all have to learn how to do what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." David kept running against the brick wall that was Saul over and over and over again, oftentimes having to run from him. Join me in verse 6 of chapter 24, and it says, "And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself." Now, why was David having to hide in the first place? Saul. And he had the opportunity, and God gave him the opportunity a couple of times to kill Saul. But what God did not give him was the permission to do so. There are some people in our lives, they get up right up underneath your fingernails, don't they? Right? Maybe it's somebody who's driving down the road with you. Maybe it's a coworker. They just crawl all the way up in there. I had this coworker one time. Yeah, I'd come in. I'd see them walk in. My entire body would just heave. Just, Every 5 minutes it was, because I was her boss. She goes, "Excuse me, can I go to the bathroom?" And I had a strict, this is not preschool policy. If you're a grown-up, I'm a grown-up, this is an office, just go. But every 5 minutes, it would be like every 5 minutes, and they would spend 10 minutes in the bathroom, right? Which would mean I'd get 5 minutes of work for a 10-minute break. And at least 5 times a day, somebody would say or do something that would bother them. So they would come over to me, hey, can I talk to you privately? So-and-so has the sniffles today. And this is a real conversation. So-and-so has the sniffles today, and that makes me really uncomfortable. I think either you should let me go home or you should have them go home. And this was 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a day, we would have to have a private conversation about things that would not normally be an issue. Every time she'd walk in, my whole body would cringe. I caught her one time Googling how to sue your workplace. I just kind of came up behind her, and it was on her screen. I was coming up with paperwork, dropping it on her desk. Hey! She says, "Oh, you know what? For David, Saul was just the bane of his existence." But in David's heart, he never reacted in the way sometimes we do when we've got somebody who's like that. You know, to me, I'm like, oh, and I would cringe every time. And, excuse me, can I go to the bathroom? I'd get irritated. Stop asking me to go to the bathroom. Just go to the bathroom. It's like, it just drove me. It's like, first of all, I'm your boss, not your dad. And second of all, I don't like feeling like anybody's dad other than them, right? I like being their dad. I don't want to be your dad. Just go. David didn't react that way. David had the opportunity to really put a hurt on Saul, and time again, he didn't. Now, this thing that we're reading here happened during a very long game of hide-and-go-seek that David and Saul were playing. And now listen, it's been a while since I've played a good game of hide-and-go-seek. My kids aren't old enough for a good game of hide-and-go-seek yet. But one thing I do remember about the game is you don't come up out of your hiding place and go, "Hey!" And that's what David did. He felt this love and this connection towards Saul because of who Saul was in God. God had put a special a responsibility on Saul. And despite the fact that Saul had left the Lord, and despite the fact that Saul was after his life and he was a jealous man, David still behaved in good Christian character. And from that, we get the greatest lesson of how do I love people that I might deem not deserving of that love. John 16, verse 33, the last part of it says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Hard things are going to come, and I tell you what, most of them are going to come from people. Right? Typically, it is us, because we live in a world full of sinners, that we have the strife and the problems that we have. So often when I have to tell people, when they come to me because they know I'm a Christian, and maybe you've had it too, "Well, if there is a God, why did this happen?" Well, that happened because sinners are on the earth. Well, couldn't he just stop it? Yeah, at any given point, God could just go, "No more people on the earth," but that would be a major bummer for us. Right, that would cancel all your weekend plans if God really fixed the earth the way he needed to fix it. That's it, no more sinners. That's you and me, we'd be gone. So you got to be thankful for that. And at the same time, it doesn't take away any of the hurt. But what we have to understand is that there are troublesome people out there. There will always be terrorists. There will always be gunmen who try to enter into schools. There will always be issues like that, regardless of what you do. You can't legislate the heart. You can't keep everybody far from you. I was watching a documentary on this guy. He lived out in the hills of Tennessee. Doesn't pay his taxes. He's just a hermit. Right, and for some of us, we look at that, we go, "That'd be pretty nice." But I just thought, this man has barely had any contact with humans. Yet there's all of these camera crews, and they got the microphones on them. And I'm like, well, somebody found them. You can't get away from it. I laughed. The guy had, like, he used old tires for his shoes. Like, if he ever had to go someplace far, he'd build shoes out of old tires that he'd find. And I just, well, somebody found them. As long as you're drawing breath, trials, tribulations, and frustrations will always be a part of it. But what we see is that we can live with it. We can even thrive in it. The very first thing that we see here with David is that David had forgiveness. One of the most healing statements in the English language is the statement, "I forgive you." The principle of forgiveness is not one that is suggested in Scripture. It is commanded. We are not saying, hey, the more in the Bible doesn't say, hey, it might be a good idea to forgive people when they wrong you. It is a commanded thing, which means it goes beyond me just apologizing or me just hearing an apology or me waiting for an apology and then I can forgive you. I heard somebody say this one time, "Well, I'll wait to forgive them when they apologize." So you're going to carry that burden for how long? Can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever wronged you and they haven't apologized? Could you imagine thinking about that every day, hanging on to that? Right? I had somebody that took a little bit of money out of my pocket one day. It wasn't directly my pocket, but they took some money from me. And you know what? They never apologized. Say, "Hey, listen, I had that there, and you came in and you took it, and you went off and you spent whatever on it, and you said you were going to pay it back, but you never paid it back. You didn't even ask me, you just stole it." Never apologized for it. You know what? I can sit there and I can talk to that person today. It doesn't feel anything. Why? Forgiveness. He never asked for it, but I'm going to give it to him. Why? Because God forgave me, and he commands me to forgive, so that's what's going to happen. Well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, you know what? I know another guy who doesn't deserve forgiveness. That's me, so I'm going to forgive him. Well, that doesn't seem very fair. You know what? You know what's benefited from something not being fair? Me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive him. You know, everything you could say about that person that wronged you, God could say about you. We don't understand what it costs. Well, it cost him his firstborn, his only begotten son, you know, so, to save you. So you know what? You can forgive them. We cannot hang on to grudges or hurt feelings or frustrations. In Ephesians 4:32, we even see, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Apostle Paul gives us a reason to forgive one another. Christ forgave us, and his forgiveness came at a cost. Right? It cost blood. For me, all I've got to do is lay aside a grudge. It is a much easier thing to do. I've seen this where people spoil great relationships, strong foundational friendships that they have had for decades because they misunderstood something that a friend said. I talk to one person, I say, hey, listen, whatever happened to you and so-and-so? Well, I heard from somebody that he said this over there, down over there, and it got back to me, and he never approached it. When I think about it, it just drives me nuts. I can't even look at him. I go over to the other guy and say, hey, listen, you know what happened to you and so-and-so? Well, I don't know. Just one day they got cold to me and stopped talking to me, and that made me mad, and they forgot my birthday. And happy birthday, by the way. Forgot my birthday, and didn't come by, so you know what? I figured if you're going to be mean to me, I got no room in my life for you. I said, well, he said that you said this. I never said that. I love him. I would never say that. And if I did say it, I'd make sure he was in the room when I said it so he knew I was joking or that I meant it. One of the two. You just kind of want to sit there and take both sides of that little story and just go, come here. Now, he said he didn't say it. Did you say it? No. You guys have been fighting for years, throwing away a decades-long conversation over a little he said, she said. Talk it over. What? How do I do that? I have to train myself to respond in kindness. Not, you know what? At first, it's going to feel a little fake. I'm faking the kindness, right? Someone cuts you off in traffic. Hi. Build yourself up. To the point when you're sitting at work and somebody verbally slaps you in the face, okay, I understand you're frustrated, but you practice and you train yourself to have that response of kindness. And something that will help motivate you on that is think of all the things and all the things that you've done in your life where God could have easily just removed you from life because you frustrated him. All right, now you know you ought to be doing this. Yep, you know you ought to be doing that, right? Yep, all right, now go. And we go and we don't do the thing God commanded us. Man, that'd make me so frustrated. I think about my kids as we're raising them. I've got one that kind of listens. One that he's so little, you don't know if he can hear you or not. But I've got that third, I got that middle one. It's always the middle one, isn't it? Got that middle one. Don't put your fingers in there. I said don't. He was, Casper, he did that one time. Danielle had him up at the park. It was one of the scariest days of my life. She had him up at the park. You talk to your kids. All right, do this, sit down, go down the slide. Get up there, sit down, go. It was a 10-foot slide. I think you remember, you might have even said, don't go up there. I don't even remember. But up to the 10-foot slide. He was Gideon's size, Gideon's age. 10-foot slide, whoop, up he goes. Now, what are the rules for the slide? Up you go to the slide, you sit down the slide, you go down the slide, right? He got up on the side, and what did he do? He stood up there. And you know what happens when you stand too long in a dangerous place? He fell. He landed on that coconut of his. Scary. Shoot, I'm on my way. He took a header off of a 10-foot slide, and I'm sitting there at work going, that's scary. I probably couldn't fall off a 10-foot slide and land on my leg and survive that thing. And I was so scared. Right? Hey, don't do that. Stop. That's going to hurt you. Now, you would think that after that, he would learn. If mommy says, don't do that, don't do that. But you know what? Kids are strong. They're resilient to all things. He's going to listen. How many times have you been in that position with God, and he could have destroyed you? Now, we can't destroy each other. Well, some people do, but you ever have that where people just lay a good tongue lashing on somebody? well, you do this and you do that. And they think they're so witty and so funny and so brilliant. And they just try to destroy the character and talk down that other person. Oh, they're so proud of themselves. But if God treated me that way, I'd hope the ground would open up and swallow me up. We need to respond in kindness, to practice kindness with the motivation that God shows over and above that level of kindness to us. 1 Samuel 18, verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. You understand what happened there? David could have caused a scene over that. David could have said, you're throwing javelins at me. I'm not going to be a captain over anything you put me in. I'm not going to trust you to do anything. I'm going back home to my father Jesse's house. I'm not going to spend any time here. I'm not going to fight for you. He could have even taken those armies, taken the heart of the people, and overthrew Saul. He could have done all those things. But the fact that he didn't shows forgiveness. That's when you could hurt somebody for having wronged you, and you don't. When you choose to forgive. Although Saul himself had invited David to become a member of his household, David had hardly arrived before Saul began to feel a great jealousy toward the young man. You ever see relationships destroyed by jealousy? Friendships destroyed by jealousy? Well, you get to have that, you get to do that. No. We celebrate the success of other people. At least we ought to. During a conversation between General Oglethorpe and John Wesley, Oglethorpe exclaimed, I never forgive. Wesley gently responded, then, sir, I hope you never sin. Isn't that what the Bible says? We'll be forgiven as we forgive. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind. I think I already read that one to you, sorry. 1 Samuel 19, verse 8, we see where he forgave from the heart. Verse 8 says, and there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in the house with his javelin in his hand. He did it again. You know what's hard? And we were talking about, we had a good time at the coffee thing that we had on Friday, just had a good time, men talking. And you know what? One of the things we kind of came across is, you know what? It's hard to handle something once. It's when it happens again and again and again that it really starts to wear you out. You know, when somebody wrongs you not just once but many times, that could be hard too. I had a boss that would do that to me. He said we'd have to pass around the emergency on-call phone. So if you lived in one of our communities and your furnace went out, your plumbing went out, you could call us at any time, night or day. We'd come out. We said, Matt, well, I'm the boss, and I don't typically handle the phone, but you take the phone, I'll give you a break. I worked for that man for almost a year and a half. Never got a break. I would spend every Sunday praying that that phone would not ring. We went off to one time. I had my vacation. I scheduled my vacation. He sat there. He goes, well, I'm not taking the phone. And if you don't take the phone and you don't answer it when they call, I'll make sure you're fired. I said, well, you don't understand. I'm leaving town. I can't come back. I've had this phone for X amount of time. If I go to the corporate office and explain to them the situation, it's going to go the other way. No. He goes, you don't understand how important I am in this company. You'll be fired. I go, oh. So I went up to the corporate. I went up the corporate ladder and said, hey, listen, this is what he said. They said, oh, no. He's supposed to have shared equal time with it. And just again and again, oh, I'll give you time. I'll give you time off. I'll give you. And every time that week would come up, no, my vacation. No, couldn't take it. There was a time where, at the particular time, it was when Xander was born. Hey, boss, listen, my kid is in the hospital. When Xander was born, he had really bad pneumonia. He just had some problems with the respiratory. We spent a couple weeks in the hospital with him. Very scary when you take your kid home and he turns blue. So I've got to be at the hospital. You don't answer that phone when it rings, I'll make sure you're fired. You said you'd give me a break. So again and again and again, somebody wrongs you. What makes you go back to that person, even though you still have to behave righteously, and even though sometimes you got to go up through the corporate ladder to get things fixed? What causes you to have that kindness towards them? You remember the kindness and the love shown towards you. Time and time again, Saul tried to take David's life. And yet David's heart was still so knit with the Lord's that he was willing to forgive. He forgave from the heart. Now listen, it is perfectly possible for us to forgive on paper, right? You'll see that with kids. All right, now apologize to your sister. Sorry. Well, no, a real apology. Sorry. No, come on. You did the thing and now that you hurt her and you apologize. I'm sorry. Now hug. Dad! You know, it is a forgiveness on paper. It is a forgiveness or an apology to get through things. How do I? No, forgive. Right, my ultimate favorite is that one right there. All right, now say, I forgive you. I forgive you. No, come on, forgive me. I forgive you. Right? Did you do the thing? Well, remember, or how about this one? There was a couple, they went to go see their pastor for counseling, and the husband says, listen, I'm doing everything that you told me to do. The problem is every time I mess up, she gets historical. And the pastor goes, you mean hysterical? He goes, no, historical. Brings up everything I've ever done. Right? I leave the milk out once, and all of a sudden it's about the other 75 times I did it. We can't get historical with each other. Well, do you remember that time that so-and-so did this and did that? You let that go. Right, I've seen that happen in church, where people will come forward and they'll ask forgiveness over a thing. And for whatever reason, we'll all vote to forgive them, and yet we'll still get bitter about it after whatever happened. Well, you remember that time 4 or 5 years ago when they had to come forward for that? That's not forgiveness. That's forgiveness on paper. You know what? Whatever you said you were sorry for, I forgive you. That's it. I'm going to forgive you like the Lord forgives me. I'm going to work every day to forget that thing. And you know what? If you need help, you need support, you need whatever to get past that sin, here I am. But that's off. There's no ledger between you and me. As far as what God has forgiven for me, there's no ledger here between us. This is a tremendous lesson for believers today. So many times we say that someone blew it, and thus we are done with them. David knew Saul had blown it. But David was willing to go back again to Saul. This is a tremendous illustration of forgiveness from the heart. He betrayed David again and again and again. And yet there was still forgiveness for him. We see that in there, David not only just forgave him, but David respected him. Now going back to my illustration, that boss that I used to have, him and I would always fight over that on-call phone thing. Hey, listen, you know, I've had it for 6 or 7 weeks. Can I hand it over for a day? No. You know what I quickly began to do in my flesh? I lost respect for him. Every time I'd come across something that he had repaired, I'd look at that, and what would I see? Would I see all the benefits of it? Would I learn anything from any of the good that he had done there? Like as somebody who's learning the craft, did I see the good stuff? No, what did I see? You know what I saw. Saw the flaws. You see, you screwed this up, screwed this on, but you didn't put the cloth over it so it wouldn't leave any marks from your wrench. Typical that guy. And the problem was the guy had the same first name I did. His name was Matt. Typical Matt. Every time I had to get negative about my own name. He did a drywall repair one time. It was the worst looking thing I've ever seen. Was it bad? I don't know, but it was the worst thing I'd ever seen. Why? Because he did it. And can I tell you this? That is a disgusting way to live. That's a hateful way to live. When you've so not forgiven somebody that you've lost all respect for them, when they can do nothing right, that is a horrible way to live. Well, what about all the things they did? You know what? You can't fix the things they do or the things they did. What you can fix is your hearts. Did God say you could allow a certain amount of bitterness into your heart? No, he did not. If you were looking for an amount, the amount is none. Right? Well, you got to remember some things. That's the root of bitterness. Right? Now listen, there are some times that people will make mistakes, and the Bible's very clear. You don't trust them with that thing again. But that does not mean I no longer respect that person. You know what I mean? We've got a brand new account, and I'm super nervous about opening up my bills and letting somebody else see what we're doing. Right? He gave us some advice, and I asked like 3 or 4 other people to confirm that advice. There's not a lot of respect there. You know what? If he messes up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to let him be my accountant anymore. Now, it depends on the size of the mess up. He goes, hey, Matt, I was a day late sending it out. That's one thing. So, hey, I completely miscalculated it. By the way, the IRS is coming, and you know, put your hands up when they come in. that's going to be the kind of mistake where, you know what, I can't work with you anymore, but why don't you come to church with me? You know, we can have respect for them, even though maybe their mistakes prove that they're not qualified for a job. But I still have respect for you. And that's what we see there with David. David had this opportunity. Remember that time when he cut the hem off of Saul's robe? That tore him up. What at first was funny, what at first might have even been a display of strength and stealth, it tore him up. He repented of that. He was sorry for that. Why? Because we have no right to treat each other with disrespectfulness. His words to Saul were respectful. We see later in Psalm 75, verse 6, it says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. You ever see people in certain positions? You go, how'd you get up there? Right? How did you get to where you are? I think about that a lot with politics. Where did you come from? You hear some people talk, was that I call her AOC, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I don't know. But she says some hilarious things. From a comedic standpoint, she is the gift that keeps on giving. Just some of the things that I don't follow a lot of people on social media, and I don't like a lot of politics on my social media when I am on it. But one of the few exceptions I have made is for AOC. Why? Because she says some amazing things. Well, where are we going to get the money for the new Green Deal? The government. Yeah, where's the government going to get the money? They just print it. I do. I love her to death. Listen, I don't know why God put her where she was when she got the job. I don't know what all he was trying to accomplish there. I know this, though. He put her there. You know what? I've made some jokes about our president. But you know what I'll never stop doing? I'll never stop calling him president. You know what? I have zero respect for a lot of the things that Barack Obama did. But when I talk about Barack Obama, it is in the terms of as an American president. You know, I can think of a lot of presidents. They're scallywags. They're scoundrels. They did horrible things. But United States President so-and-so, right? President Bill Clinton. You know, for whatever ones that pain you the most, and he bothers me the most. But God, I don't know why God put them there, but when we're inaugurating them, and I'm maybe in I've never been to the audience, but if I'm there and we go to salute the flag, that's what I'm going to do. The American president, we're at an American thing, that's the American flag, this is what I'm going to do. Why? Respect. You know, it's very easy for us to rip each other apart and tear each other down. And you know what? I think a lot of the things that they're doing in government is unforgivable. However, God tells me I've got to forgive it, so here I am. I think they're deplorable, the things that they're doing. But at the same time, there's that respect. I don't know why God put you there. I'm going to respect you. I'm going to fight on you. And you know what? I'll tell you this. You know, I tell some jokes about Joe Biden, but if President Joe Biden came into the auditorium, I would be so very glad. And I would probably still tell some of the jokes because that's what we do here. I was telling some of the men at the Bible conference that I grew up with. And they're like, yeah, but you guys joke around over there? And I go, you guys couldn't handle some of the men at the home church. His act, and not only were his words respectful, but his actions were respectful, right? Why is it that we get so hot and bothered about people taking a knee when we go to give the anthem? You know, you can protest in a thousand ways. Why you got to protest that way? I firmly believe that being able to protest is an American right, and I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, I've protested a little. I'm not saying that carrying a banner is a great idea, but I stand against a lot of things. But why you got to do that? You know what I'm saying? I can do all manner of things. And yet when my banner plays, I can stand up and I can put my hand over my heart. Why does that drive me nuts? Because it's a disrespectful action. You're not doing anything but drawing attention to yourself. Right? If I come out and I say, hey, listen, this thing, this injustice in America is driving me nuts, you would know that that's driving me nuts because I got up and I said this is driving me crazy. Right, these politicians, these sports people, these entertainers, they've got the ability to stand up and use their voice and say stuff and people will listen. So when I get down on my knee instead of standing and putting my hand over my heart at the flag, you're not saying anything but look at me. That's a disrespectful action. Right? And we can give disrespectful actions to each other. You ever see this one? You're talking to a full-grown person. Now, I expect it from a teenager. I do. I expect it from a teenager. You ever see this one from a grown person? Just, oh. You go to talk to them and there's roll in their entire body. Hey, what high school didn't slap you around enough? Look at me. You know? Talk to full grown adults. Hey, you're not supposed to do that. I thought about that lady who got pulled out of her car going off of I think it was Pearson Road was what I was driving down. Think about that lady who got pulled out of her car. Just sitting there giving looks at the cop. Did you put the drugs in your car? Yes, you did. Did you drive the car knowing there were drugs in the car? Yes. Did you take the drugs and drive inebriated and impaired? Yes, you did. So why are you rolling your eyes when you did all of the things? Right? Oh, yeah, rules. That's a disrespectful action. I've seen this too in the realm of disrespectful actions. When you're just sitting there and you're talking to somebody and they just, everything in their body language, I want to have nothing to do with you. No. Or just not doing it. Is it disrespectful to the parent when the child does not do what they said to do? Think about that verse Brother Dennis brought up this morning. Father went to two of his sons. Said to the one, hey, go. He said, I'm not going to go. Is that disrespectful? Yes, it is. Went to the other son, said, go. He didn't go. Is that disrespectful? That's disrespectful. Whippings all around today. Right? Obedience or disobedience reveals a level of respect in our actions. So when Saul said, go do this, and he got up and he went to go do that, right? That's respect. That's giving admonition or giving admiration to those, or sorry, giving the respect to those in authority. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Furthermore, this same passage commands us that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Because I'll tell you what, if God didn't want them around, God doesn't have to keep them. Right? If God wanted to just go over to the American government and flip the tables on it, he could. He could do that tomorrow. So as long as they're there, you're going to have respect. Now again, I've preached this message before. There's a line where you ask me to go against what the Lord has to say. Well, that's where we're going to have to part ways. But I'll still respect you. Right? We see that there's a level of respect that must be given for forgiveness to take place. And forgiveness is a very valuable thing. Point number three in our lesson, we see David's forbearance, and we'll be done here in a second, but David's forbearance. Colossians 3:13 gives us forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ephesians 4:2 gives us, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I never want to be the reason why somebody has to be long-suffering. But man, I've known some people that I've irritated. You know what I mean? I can point out, hey, you know what? For a long time, I vexed this person. I firmly believe that road trips with my mom have earned her a special award in heaven. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible, but I believe that. You know, just the irritation that we would cause and the things that we would do, right? sometimes forgiveness takes a little extra effort. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.